If you would, take your Bibles and turn to Genesis chapter 39. Genesis chapter 39. We're going to look at several verses here in this section of Scripture. I thought I was going to go a different direction this evening, but the Lord just put this on my heart this afternoon. And so we're going to see what the Lord has for us tonight. A couple of people have asked how the weather was over there. It was beautiful. It's their dry season, so I mentioned it rained one day. It's in the 70s during the day and the 60s at night, so we were certainly struggling with that. It was real tough being there, but it was a blessing. I'll probably say a few more things as we go through the message tonight, but Genesis chapter number 39, and let's read the last three verses of the chapter. As we get started, Genesis chapter 39, verse 21 says, "But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. The keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him. And that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper." Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your many blessings to us. I would thank you for the opportunity we have to meet here together and look into your word. I pray that you'd speak to us from it. I pray that you would challenge us and encourage us, and pray that we would look to you this evening. We ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Over the past 13 and a half months, our family has had a front row seats for experiencing the perfect timing of God. Lydia was very careful to make sure this was announced in some way or another, but today is her baby sister's birthday. Elizabeth is 1 year old today. It's another reason why she got featured in the video so much. But today is her birthday. She's 1 year old. So a year ago today, at this very time, my wife and I, we were up in Hartford Hospital. And we had been there for 5 days, I guess. And Lydia and Silas hadn't been able to see their mom during all of that time. And so there was a nurse that was there. I don't know if she was just breaking all protocol or she felt bad enough for us, but she arranged some things with the people on the floor there for us to get our kids into the labor and delivery section of the hospital to see their mom. And so my in-laws were here. We said, hey, rush the kids up here before someone changes their mind. Get the kids here so they can see mom, because we had the idea, as we were told at least, that she could be in that room or in that section for another month at that point. They were going to potentially let her carry for as long as September 22nd, which would have been an eternity. That was what we were kind of thinking. So when this one nurse said, yeah, you can bring the kids and we'll get them in, we said, get them up here as quickly as possible. So they came up. And we got to spend a little bit of time with about an hour they were up in the room. And then about the time when it was time for them to leave, you know, they had exhausted everything they could do safely in the small room. And they needed to go. Things started to change. The tone in the room changed a little bit as the doctors were watching Elizabeth and monitoring her vitals. And, you know, over the next couple of hours, things changed dramatically to the point where kids are here with mom, seeing her for the first time in several days, to the point where the doctor is coming in with very urgent and not very encouraging messages that we need to go. We need to get paper signed. We need to get this lady into the delivery room to perform a C-section. And all of that happened quite quickly. And, you know, looking back over the last year, and even in the 7 weeks before that day that I'm describing now, my wife and I were able to see the hand of God at work in a really incredible way. Be able to see the timing of God in all of those things as well. You know, I could spend the rest of the night boring you with details that are vivid to me about all of the little things that happened that I believe God was behind and God was orchestrating that enabled our daughter to receive excellent care and be able to receive it close to home. A number of things that I believe God was in and God was behind working on our behalf. We're not going to do that tonight, but it's something to consider. It's something to think about, seeing and experiencing the hand of God in our lives. We read a few verses here tonight about Joseph, and if you're paying attention, Joseph was in prison. Now you say, that's not a good place to be. there's probably a better place we could have picked up in Joseph's life rather than in prison. But you know, he was there for a reason. And you know, he wasn't there because of some crime that he had committed. He was falsely accused and put in prison. But he was in a pretty dark place, a pretty low place in his life. But you know, even being there was a part of God's plan for his life. It was an element of God's perfect timing in his life. And as we look back on our lives, it's hard to see it, I think, a lot of times in the present, and even maybe looking ahead a day or two, it's hard to really appreciate the hand of God and the timing of God's hand in our lives. But when we're able to step back and look back and see the way that God has worked and see the things that God has done in our lives, I think it can be a real encouragement to us to trust his hand today and to trust his hand in our future. Joseph, an incredible Bible character, but he endured great trials. But through all of those things, he seemed to maintain the right attitude about his circumstances. And we know, of course, from Genesis chapter 50, that his testimony through all of those things was that God meant it unto good. You know, thinking about the things even in our family's life, you know, the going back a year ago today and then about the 7 weeks before that were very trying days for our family. There was probably not a time when we were here in church, we were singing a hymn, that we were able to do so with a dry eye. Thinking about the goodness of God and the character of God and all of those, the depth of those songs, how it points to our Lord and our Savior, our Creator, it was a difficult time. But as we can look back on those things, we say, you know what, God meant it unto good. God had a purpose in all of those things, and I wouldn't sign up to do it again, but we could see how God used those events and used those circumstances to shape us and to help to grow us in our personal lives. I think some of those things can be said even about Joseph. We see, first of all, I'd like to consider that Joseph trusted that God had a plan. Joseph trusted that God had a plan. Now, this world is made up of many different people. There are some people that are strong planners. They like to plan things to the minute. They could tell you tomorrow where they're going to be at 11:35 a.m. They can tell you what they're going to be doing. They know what's for lunch tomorrow. They know what's for dinner next Tuesday. There's people that are strong planners in this life. I know some of those people that are those strong planners and are always wanting to know what's the next detail. What are we going to be doing when the snow falls? How are we going to remove the snow from the driveway? They're planning ahead and careful to do all of those things. Then there's the other people that just like to wing everything. They just go through life and see what the day brings and then figure out what to do on the spur of the moment. What's for dinner tonight? I don't know. Haven't had it yet. Well, we'll find out when we have a chance. You know, there's people like that as well. But what's important for us all to do is to remember that God has a plan for each and every one of us. And we need to trust that God has a plan for us. You know, sometimes we can go through our lives and not really think about what's God's plan for me. You know, what does God want me to do today? Where does God want me to go? Who does God want me to speak to? Does God want me to give a tract to that person over there, to share the gospel with them? Sometimes we don't think about God's plan in those ways, in the minute details of life. But it's important for us to remember that God has a plan and trust that God has a plan. He always has a plan. One of the things that my oldest daughter has picked up on in just hearing the Bible is that the phrase, "and it came to pass," occurs a lot. So I did a quick search and found that there's about 400 times that the phrase, "and it came to pass," appears in the Bible. You know, each one of those is a reminder to us that God is doing something, and God is doing something in his time. It's not always in our timing, but God always has a plan, and there's always a reason for what he is doing and when he is doing it. God's plan may not involve the expected path. You know, we might think we have our life coursed, we might have that all planned out for ourselves. We might think that we know where we're going to be in 5 years or 10 years or 15 years. We might think of those things because we have certain expectations. We have certain plans. We have certain desires. We have a certain path that we are following. But God's plan may not involve the expected path. You know, I don't think Joseph ever expected to be in prison. You know, we read about Joseph, and he's one of those unique characters in the Bible that we don't see a sin recorded from him. You know, someone who lived a good life like that doesn't expect to wind up in prison. That's where Joseph was. God's plan may not involve the expected path. God's plan may not involve the easiest path. Once again, Joseph being in prison wasn't the easiest path for him to take. We need to remember that the easy path is not always the best path. Or just because there's something difficult doesn't mean we should shy away from it. You know, there's a lot of things that are difficult just from our recent experiences. Traveling around the world with 3 small children is difficult. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't do it or we would have been better off if we didn't. You saw how Elizabeth opened a lot of doors. So we see just because something is difficult doesn't mean we should shy away from it. We should avoid it. God's plan may not involve the easiest path. It may not involve the efficient path. You know, it may take longer. God's plan may take longer than what we want it to take. It may take us more years or more money, more time. All those things are possible because God's plan doesn't always line up with our plan. God's ways are higher than our ways. Joseph was here in prison, not by any doing of his own, not by any sin that he had committed, not by any crime that he had committed, but he was in prison as a part of the plan of God. It's important that we remember that God's plan is always perfect, God's plan is always best, and God's plan is always worthwhile. Amen. We think about Joseph and by him, the series of events that took place in his life that led him to this point. We see that he was taken away from his family. That seems like a bad thing. But then, again, you look at his family, and there were a lot of problems in his family. His brothers were kind of wild people. But he was taken away from his family, taken away from his father. He was taken to a strange land. He didn't know the people. He didn't know the culture. He was taken to a strange land. He was put in prison, once again, guiltless, put in prison. And he was there for a long time. But through all of that, Joseph trusted that God had a plan for his life. Do you believe that God has a plan for your life? And we got several young people. Does God have a plan for your life? Do you believe and trust that God has a plan for your life? And will you trust him no matter which way that takes you? Even if it's not the most efficient path or not the easiest path or not what you expected to do, will you trust that God has a good plan for your life? Joseph did. Joseph was content to wait on God's plan. Let's read a few more verses. Let's go to chapter 40, Genesis chapter 40. Verse 1 says, "And it came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was wroth against 2 of his officers, against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the bakers. And he put them in ward in the house of the captain of the guard into the prison, the place where Joseph was bound. And the captain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them. And they continued a season in ward." See, Joseph was content to wait on God's plan. You know, I think we can see this, and I don't think he wanted to stay in there. We'll read some verses later that indicate that he was ready to get out, but he was content to be there because he trusted that God had a plan. But while he was there, he was still doing things. He wasn't just sitting there. He wasn't moping. He wasn't whining the whole time. He was an effective person. He was a productive person while he was there in prison. He was content to wait on God's plan. You know, waiting can be a difficult task. Just a brief anecdote from our trip. We were flying. We had about an hour and a half till we landed. And I kept getting the question, "Are we on the ground yet? Are we on the ground yet?" I said, "No, you'll know when we are. Are we on the ground yet?" You know, waiting can be a difficult task. I can remember when I was a teenager, I was working at a golf course, and there was a time clock there. You had to take your card and punch in, punch out. And I can remember times walking into the break room, seeing people just huddled around that time clock, just waiting for the time to tick to the next minute so they could punch out at the appropriate time. You know, waiting like that is probably a lot harder work than actually working until the right time. But clock watching is tedious. It seems to make time go slower. You know, anytime you travel, you'll find people that are impatient. You know, you get on the highway, you find impatient people. People just have to get ahead of you. Why? Because if they're 15 feet further ahead, they're going to get there a lot faster. In Fiji, no one's concerned about efficient use of time unless they're behind a steering wheel, and then they will pass you. So got to watch out on the roads. But waiting can be a difficult task. Waiting is sometimes necessary. You know, God can use quiet years in a person's life. God can use a quiet season of life to grow us, to challenge us. We think of Bible characters like Moses and even Jesus and the Apostle Paul. They had times of quietness, times of rest, some many years, some several days. They had times in their lives which we could look at and say those were quiet times where not a lot was happening except God was growing them. God was causing them to wait for God's perfect timing. They were in that waiting phase so that God could grow them. God plans, I believe that God plans experiences, whether victories or trials in our lives, for our development, for our growth. He'll give us things that we can handle with his help, but he'll give us those things so that we can grow, so that we can be prepared when the next big thing comes, so that we can be ready when God says, okay, it's time to come out of the prison. It's time to go forward. It's time to complete the job. God uses those times of quietness, those times of waiting to prepare us for the next stage of life. Joseph was content to wait for God's moving. He was industrious in prison. He was promoted in prison. He was blessed in prison, prosperous in prison. Look at verse 14, Genesis chapter 40, verse 14. This is after Joseph interpreted the dream of the chief butler. In Genesis chapter 40, verse 14, this is what Joseph says to the butler. He says, "But think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. For indeed I was stolen away out of the land of the Hebrews, and here also have I done nothing that they should put me into the dungeon." You know, Joseph here, he had been in prison for a while already, and I think he was ready to get out. If you think about the words that he was using there and the sense of urgency and the pleading that he was giving to that butler to remember him, because he didn't deserve to be there. Get me out of this place. Make mention of me. Speak highly of me. He was ready to get out of prison. He was ready for the next stage of his life. Joseph was ready when God's timing came. That's the last thing I'd like to consider tonight. Joseph was ready when God's timing came. In the end of chapter 40, we read that what Joseph had interpreted came to pass. Verse 21 of chapter 40 says, "And he restored the chief butler unto his butlership again. He gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker, as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forget him." Chapter 41. "And it came to pass at the end of two full years that Pharaoh dreamed." Now, you may recall the way the account goes after this. Pharaoh had a dream and it troubled him. He awoke. He didn't know how to interpret his dream. He didn't know if it meant something or not. And he was telling some of his people. And in the course of that event, the chief butler remembered, "Oh yeah, there's that guy in prison that told me what my dream was. It came to pass. It happened just like he told me it was going to happen. And I told him I was going to remember him. I told him I was going to tell Pharaoh about this guy. Here's my chance to redeem myself." And he would tell Pharaoh about Joseph, and Joseph would be brought out and interpret the dream of Pharaoh and be placed into a very high position in Egypt, a position which enabled him to save his family that was still in Canaan by giving them food and providing for them a place to live and sustenance during a time of great famine in that region. But, you know, Joseph was ready when God's timing came. Joseph was forgotten in prison by the chief butler, but he was not forgotten by God. God remembered exactly where he was. God remembered and God knew that he had a plan for him. It just wasn't the time 2 years prior. You know, maybe if he was taken out of prison 2 years prior, then he wouldn't have been considered for the job of collecting all of the food sources and saving them up for the famine. God had a plan in the timing of all these events, Even in the butler forgetting Joseph for 2 years, God knew exactly where Joseph was and had a plan for him. After 2 full years, the Bible tells us in verse number 14 that the Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he was brought out hastily. I think if I was Joseph and I had interpreted the dream of the butler and I had told him, hey, look, when you get out of this place, when Pharaoh returns you to your place of service, remember me. If I was Joseph in that event and a day passed by and a week passed by and a month passed by and then 6 months passed by and the butler hadn't remembered, I would have figured that that opportunity was past. That was over. And that guy had long forgotten about Joseph, and there was no chance that he was going to be remembered and brought out of that prison. That's what I would have been thinking. You know, we probably would have assumed the opportunity was gone. You know, a question that we answer sometimes as parents is, how many more sleeps until something happens, right? How many more sleeps until school starts? It's not many. How many more sleeps until the next big thing, till my birthday? We have all these questions that we answer about these things that happen in time. But, you know, after 2 years, imagine keeping track of, if you're a parent of young children right now, think about keeping track of the sleeps for over 700 days. That would be exhausting. And Joseph probably was to that point where he said, you know what? All hope is lost. I'll die in this prison. I'll be here until the end of my days on this earth because the butler forgot about him. But God remembered exactly where he was. Even in those difficult times, Joseph maintained his confidence in God. You know, when we put our confidence in people, when we trust people to do the right thing for us, you know, we're in the middle of presidential election season. And what do a lot of people do during this time? They put their trust in what a person that might get elected can do for them. They put their trust in what that person said. But what do we know is going to happen? Most of the time, the things that the person says, they don't do. Or they don't do the way they said they were going to do. Putting our trust in people always has that tendency to leave us disappointed. But when we put our trust and our confidence in God, we will never be disappointed. Because God is good, and God has a good plan for us. It may not be the easiest. It may not always be what we expected, but God does have a plan for us. Joseph maintained his confidence in God. Joseph believed all the details were in God's hands. You know, that's a challenging thing for us to think about in the day-to-day with all of the details and all of the things that we have to deal with and all of the struggles that we face. Is God really, does he know all of the details? Of course he does. We know that. But do we really believe that when push comes to shove, when we're in the middle of the situation, things are difficult, do we believe that God's hand is in all the details? Joseph believed that, and because of that, he was able to live his life in good spirits. Even though a lot of difficult things happened to him, he was able to, I think he had a joy from God in his life. He didn't have a spirit of a whiner. He wasn't always whining and complaining about, well, why did Reuben get out of the situation? Why did Judah, with all the sin in his life, why did he get spared from prison? You know, we don't see a Joseph like that. We see a Joseph that when confronted with the opportunity, when given the opportunity to get vengeance, to get revenge on his brothers, what did he do? He said, God did this. You didn't do this to me. You didn't sell me as a slave. You didn't arrange the situation so that I would end up in prison. You didn't send me to Egypt. God did it. Why? Because God had a good plan and a good purpose in all of these things. He believed that God's hand was in all those details, and that allowed him to, with confidence, trust God's plan. That allowed him with confidence to trust all of the details, the good things, the bad things, the ups and downs of life. He was able to trust and place them in God's hand. And it had a big impact in his life and an impact on those around him. But the question is, are we looking for the hand of God in our lives? You know, I mentioned it's difficult at times in the present to see what God is doing. But when we get some usually years past the situation, we can look back and say, oh, that was God. You know, God did that. God put that person in my life for this reason. God arranged those details, and I never could have done it, but God did that, and it was a good thing. Do we trust that God has a plan for our lives? Are we ready to respond if God challenges us in some endeavor or redirects our lives? You know, God can do that. It might not be the expected thing, but God can do that. God might challenge us in something. Are we willing and ready to follow? Do we trust his plan that it's good? Are we able to, like Joseph, just go forward and say, God has a plan and a purpose in this, and I will follow the Lord? God's plan is good. His timing is perfect. You know, one of the things that we had discussed with the Dekus, Brother Deku, when we were in Fiji, is just the challenges that he faces as a missionary, and the problems that families face, the problems that individuals face. And he mentioned a number of things, and as I sat there, I was kind of thinking a little bit, you know, those are a lot of the same problems that, you know, people face in Connecticut too. You know, a lot of the same issues of the home and issues of the family and issues in school, they're really similar to a lot of the things that people face in Connecticut. And why is that? Because people are people. Amen. People all struggle with the same thing. There's souls to reach here in Connecticut, just like there's souls to reach in Fiji, just like there's souls to reach in every country, every town, and every city across this nation. There's souls to reach. And the conclusion that I came to is it was answered by my son. You know, Silas, he's 2 years old. And if you were to ask him, a lot of times you ask him, where are you? His response is, here. I'm right here. That's his response. And, you know, we're trying to say, well, you're at home or you're at this place. No, he says, I'm right here. And the answer to the question of how are we going to reach the world is by being right here, by being where we are and simply obeying God where we are. By trusting God, trusting his plan, trusting where he puts us now, where he'll put us in the future, and trusting him and obeying him to do what God wants us to do right here. That's God's plan for reaching this world. We need to obey. We need to trust that God has a plan for us and obey his plan each and every day of our lives. Let's close in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father,